You are perceived as one of those authorities on the phenomenon of channeling.
Mm-hmm.
I want your take on what you think channeling might be.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I've alluded to earlier, the way that I operate is it's important for me to be able to entertain rival hypotheses or competing hypotheses. There's a lot of ways to look at something. And if you can kind of, with compassion, or step into the shoes of those different frames of reference, or be able to do your homework to argue the case of that from those frames of reference, I think it's healthy in a kind of a postmodernist world where there's a lot of different people's experience bases and stories and claims and so on. And so with channeling, there's a lot of frames of reference. And in the channeling book, I try to look at a lot of them, including the skeptics' views and the traditional scientists' views and the fundamental Christian views. There's demons, man, and everything in between. Now, for me, channeling is, by my definition, by the way, mediumship, which is communication from spirits from the afterlife or deceased human spirits who were once physically alive and who may be coming back in incarnation to another life, but right now are in a discarnate state. That's mediumship is a special case of channeling where the communicating agent is a deceased human spirit or discarnate human spirit, and the person who's doing that is by special term medium. And a medium and mediumship predates channeling. Channeling is the more recent term on the block. Now, channeling, the more inclusive term, is receiving information or communication or even energy that's coming to you or through you as the channel, the medium, from some source that's transcendental to you, that's beyond physical reality as we understand it and from beyond your own psychical or skin-encapsulated ego self either. So it's from something. It's from it's what's called exogenous. It's from outside of you, and it's also from outside of this level of reality. So, but the definition of channeling presupposes that there's a larger inhabited universe that has non-physically based or otherwise embodied or dimensionally residing beings, whether we call them extraterrestrials, other dimensionals, ultra dimensionals, plant devas, you know, group spirits, gods, angels, etc., as well as discarnate spirits and ascended masters and. It goes on and on. As long as a whole menagerie, that's not a good term, but a whole mixed bag of sources claiming to be channeled or claiming that they're channeled, being channeled. And the channeling, it either comes to somebody physically embodied on Earth, who's the channel or the medium, the vehicle, and either it's come, they step aside like in a possession trance, or they go into an altered state of consciousness sufficiently to make way for that source to work through them in the sense of it can talk through them, it can use their language facilities, it can use their speech generation system, their automatic writing, automatic typing, whatever it is. You kind of surrender to it, step aside or think aside, get in an altered state of consciousness sufficient for that overshadowing or moving through you and using you to do the communicating. The other way is more like a telepathic or clairvoyant or co-consciousness where you just hear in your mind's ear or sense inside that feels phenomenologically different than your own contents of consciousness or your own stream of consciousness or your own talking to yourself that you're more familiar with. It's something that feels different than that sufficiently that you know it's not you, and it's not even part of you, it's not even your unconscious. And that's according to the people that describe it this way, something coming to you, and then you translate it on, you communicate it on. Like, I'm hearing your grandmother right now, she's with us, and your grandmother wants me to tell you. You know, that's kind of I'm passing it on to you. But if I sort of cleared my throat, you know, eyes rolled up into my head, jerked around a little bit, and like a multiple personality or dissociative identity disorder person, and the sub or alter personality or this outside entity kind of talks through me for a while, and I'm saying, George, this is Edna, I'm here. You know, can we talk about your stuff that only I knew, you know, about you, that you'll know it's me, and I still love you, and the love bond holds across death. That's talking through or using the vehicle rather than just sort of talking to. But channeling therefore presupposes an interdimensional communication, a cross-world communication. And that's partly why I'm interested in extraterrestrial reality too, whether the extraterrestrials have moved beyond physical embodiment as we and our species have not yet.
Jacques Vallée believes they're dimensional.
Oh, sure, yeah. That's come more and more to the fore. I mean, I did my first work in UFOs research as a high school student in my senior thesis in English class in 1959. And I chose as my thesis for my English class was Project Blue Book. And Project Blue Book, this was 1959.
Sure.
It was only a couple years old. And I've been in the vineyards toiling about ufology and extraterrestriology ever since, ever more passionately as time goes on. But it's still cross-world, whether they're nuts and bolts embodied at the same level of density as we are or not. And it's a mixed bag. Some are, some aren't. And so that's why the channeling and the extraterrestrial are both otherworldly, both kind of larger reality, both interdimensional. And there's anomalous cognition. There's ways of knowing, anomalous communication, inexplicable to current Western science understanding that goes on. In this kind of crosstalk and intercommunication. Even the fin-torn plant devas, you know. Somebody can go into a mildly altered state or into a trance and hear from the plant kingdom and how to better grow your plants, you know. And the fin-torn had miraculous fruits and vegetables and flowers because they listened to the plant kingdom. Well, how many of us cock an ear with our green thumb to the plant kingdom to be channels with regard to that, you know, non-human domain? So it's a larger, it's the commerce and the communication and the, almost like the incestuous intercourse within a larger being, a larger consciousness field where all these seats and focuses and stations of consciousness reside. Some are physically embodied, some aren't. Some are human, some aren't.
And can we all do this?
I believe we all can, yes. I believe we all can. But to some extent, if you want to, the will to believe and the desire to open to it or surrender to it and be used that way, and then here comes the fundamentalist Christians back echoing in our ears saying, you open yourself to demons, you open yourself to possession, you open yourself to Satan. And there may be a certain percentage of that that by how those terms are defined, there is something like that. Beings fallen very far lost away from the light, whether they were ever human or not. So I'd leave that open as a possibility. By the way, when I interviewed Houston Smith, probably our greatest philosopher about religion and a popularizer of religion, some of your listeners may know Houston Smith, I interviewed him for the channeling book, and he said, you know, I looked at the manuscript, and you talk about all the kinds of beings and sources and entities that can be channeled by a channel or a medium. I agree with all of them. And this is a whole, if you look at the book, it's a whole wide variety. He said, I believe in all of them. This was a professor at MIT and other places. And he said, however, there's one that I don't agree with. I said, I don't believe that people can channel God. And I don't believe you can channel God because I believe in St. Augustine's or whoever's definition that God is a circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere or something like that or in reverse. And he said, therefore, it isn't an anthropomorphizable kind of centric entity on the other end of a hotline talking to you. And I can't do that with God. It's too diffuse, too universally all present. But there is a whole subset of people claiming to channel God, you know, like Conversations with God, Walsh, for example.
Yeah,
and he said anybody can really do this. He gave himself permission to do it. He said, I'm going to try this. I'm going to pretend God is talking to me and I can talk to God. I'm just going to pretend, willing suspension of disbelief. And out of that came these best-selling books where he kind of got into a groove, whether he was throwing his own voice like an amnesic ventriloquist and pretending God was talking back dissociatedly, or whether it really was God or some impersonating spirit on the other side wanting to make him feel better by pretending it's God.